Claire McDonald doesn't need an asterisk beside her accomplishments. She's one of the top 10 drivers and trainers at Truro Raceway, period. Not within the context of racing against other women or anything like that, but in the driving and training community as a whole. Top 10 in wins, and she's a leader in purse earnings. Number one, as a matter of fact. Claire, welcome.
Well, thanks you, Norm, for having me.
Pretty impressive resume.
Well, it's a work in progress.
Well, you're progressing very nicely. You've got Honeydew Jig Time in the three-year-old Pacing Filly Final. What a special filly. 11 wins on 15 starts, a mark of 155 and 1 at Charlottetown. That's better than any of the three-year-old colt pacers. Is she the 2011 version of Meridian Magic, do you think?
Well, she certainly didn't put up the numbers that Meridian Magic did as far as, you know, going undefeated. However, the crop that Meridian Magic raced against was maybe not as tough as this crop, and individually they're total opposites, where Meridian Magic was very neat, compact little filly. This mare is huge, and the fact that she shows better credentials, as you said, than the colts is probably because she's even bigger than them. I can't compare her to Martha Maxime because this mare is a real mare, but she's that structure.
You got me thinking there for a minute. No, never mind. Okay. She's all woman. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. But you know what? It's a credit to her being such a big mare getting around the half-mile tracks.
Yeah, and that's the reason why she was quite lackluster starting off her two-year-old years, that she just couldn't quite get that big body bent around the turns, and she'd interfere with herself some. And it was, you know, midsummer before she started to get, you know, kind of half comfortable with it and was really coming along in the fall, and unfortunately got sick before the finals. But anyway, you know, that's horse racing and that's colts.
Yeah.
But this year she's real handy gated. Now, having said that, she did make a break in her last start in Truro and spotted them 14 or 15 lengths, but it was a kind of a miserable day, a lot of rain, track was cuppy, and she just got revved up behind the gate and slipped, I'd say, more than anything.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens.
Yeah, now,
things happen. You sent an uncoupled entry out in the Filly Final,
uh-huh.
The other member being Fortina. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, little mare started the year out really well, and she's really consistent little mare, you know, always gives you a pretty decent effort. However, she hasn't been as sharp the last four or five starts as she had started out, and I can't really put a finger on it. She seems healthy and real sound, good gated filly, but just not, you know, as maybe as aggressive now as she was earlier in the year.
You kind of wonder what makes them go that way, a lack of confidence?
Yeah.
Or
well, I think part of it may be based on her style of racing. She's not a filly that springs off the wings real fast, plus she never had the benefit of drawing very well this summer. She always seems to draw, you know, poor posts, and it meant that she had to go a lot of long miles, come from behind, and it kind of wears on them mentally maybe after a while. They just get sick of grinding that much.
Sure. Tell us about West River Victory in the three-year-old Open Trot. Gets a rail, but gets to race against Waiting on a Woman and Maple Leaf Spirit. How do you assess your chances there?
Well, I guess he'll capitalize if the others make mistakes, because he's been ultra-consistent, never made a break this year. Always in the hunt. The biggest thing is he can't go toe-to-toe with Spirit and Waiting on a Woman. You know, they're kind of in a class of their own, but if one or both of them make a mistake, well, then he's next best.
Well, Waiting on a Woman did just that in the glass slipper right out of the gate.
So. Yeah.
What is it about trotters? It seems to me that when they get on a roll, they really do seem to get on a roll when they start to make breaks. Do they, or is that just a perception?
I don't think. I think, you know, and in the respect to Waiting on a Woman, he's tremendously fast, very big, and has gone a lot of trips in the Maritimes that, you know, trotters couldn't attain the kind of speeds he's been going at.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, maybe getting a few little aches and pains, and will be more suited to a big surface and probably will really shine.
Yeah, I'm going to be asking Mr. Tierney about that in just a few more minutes. Let's talk about Maritimer. Comes into the final of the three-year-old Pacing Colts on a three-race win streak. How will Jig Time do against these colts? How will he do against those colts?
Maritimer? Well, he certainly won't embarrass himself. He's all grit and determination, very short, compact little horse who just absolutely loves his job. Never raced, I think, only one or two times as a two-year-old, and had come had a leg injury, so subsequently was put on the shelf, and he's just a breath of fresh air for the people who own him, because they're newcomers to the racing game. Mm-hmm. And you know, never expect it when they kind of got a gift horse, more or less, that, you know, he was going to be anything else but maybe a backyard pet, and everything he's done has pleased him immensely.
Yeah. Now, how would Jig Time do against those colts, do you think?
Down the road in a couple of weeks, she'll face them in the Donnie Turner Memorial, which is a stake and truro that doesn't split for colts and fillies, and I'm pretty sure she'll give a good account of herself.
Well, you're one of the few people that can really make a decent living at this game. It's tough to do anywhere in the country, but I would think in the Maritimes, given the purse structure, tends to be a bit more difficult. You must be very pleased.
Yeah, it's always been I don't know, very gratifying to me that I am able to exist solely on the racing income. Now, my husband does have a full-time job with the Department of Transportation, but the farm runs itself on what I can do. Wow. With it. And, you know, I've told people before, I've never gone to the grocery store and had to walk away with an empty cart, so I guess my head's above water.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Norm.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay,
now.
Bye.
Let's go from Truro to the island and talk to a guy that has a horse we've all liked to wait on and hope comes our way. Some people are lucky enough to say that waiting on a woman is their horse. Mitch Tierney, one of the leading trainers, is on Trot Radio, where I understand on the island it's snowing as we speak.
Yeah, it is.
What the heck? I know you guys had a storm going on up there, but snow?
Yeah, it's been a wild last couple days.
Well, let's try and warm our hearts with the latest on waiting on a woman. 15 for 21 in the win column. Made a break out of the gate in the glass slipper. What happened there?
He was just a little temperamental. He was a little excited and just kind of lost it.
Yeah, and you think that's just something where if you can get him settled down, you can probably have him all right for this championship weekend.
Yeah, we trained him on Wednesday morning. We made some equipment adjustments, and everything was good on Wednesday. So, knock on wood, hope it stays that way.
Tell us about Maple Leaf Spirit.
She is a heck of a filly. She's a nice filly. We just kind of hoping the draw comes out that we don't get hooked up with her, but we've been hooked up with her, and we've beat her, and she's beat us, and she's one hell of a filly.
So it should make for a really exciting event, I would think.
Yeah, that's especially for sure. With both of us from the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about your plans for waiting on a woman both after the stakes season and at four. What's going to happen after the stakes season wraps up, Mitch?
As of right now, the plan is he's going to be turned out. Mm-hmm. He's been taking some wicked growth spurts even into this fall, and he's not even near done growing. So he's going to be turned out for the winter and hopefully ready to go try a big track in the spring.
You took the words out of my mouth, especially in light of the fact that you said he's been growing so much. What kind of bigger tracks do you think you'd like to head to? There's one in Ottawa we'd love to see him at.
Yeah, that's a possibility, and even maybe Mohawk or Woodbine. Like, he's got lots of talent, and even these tracks have been slowing him down a bit because he's so big, and he's starting have trouble getting around Charlottetown now as opposed to the little tracks around the Maritimes. So
yeah,
he needs a big track where he can cut loose.
Yeah, and how do you think he would fare against some of the bigger horses over here?
I think, like, he's built, he's a big horse, and he's got lots of speed and lots of talent, so I think he can handle a lot of them. Like, he's never really been pushed too hard here, but I think he's ready for what's coming his way.
Let me ask you this, Mitch. On the island, harness racing is so strong. What do you attribute that to? I know that it's embedded in the culture, you could say, but the folks at Red Shores have done a great job of really putting the game front and center, and that's sort of emitting all through the Maritimes, don't you think?
Yeah, they've done an awesome job since they took over. Everything's awesome. It's a very A-class show.
Yeah.
They're doing a very good job.
Yeah. Well, our friends over there, Lee Drake and the gang, are great to work with. And certainly the kind of talent that it's been drawing in terms of the kind of stock you have, Claire McDonald, people like that, it shows that, you know, these are serious players. And we just want to see you guys continue to go off in that direction and continue all the great work that you do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, best of luck this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Mitch. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye.